I want you to come to John chapter 13 again, verse 1, which I know we went there last night, but I'm going to go back. It was just as before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. He had knowledge. He was aware. My biggest test of that word came in 1989 when my father, the one who brought me up, was about to go home. It says, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. At that time, I was struggling because I didn't want to release my dad to leave this world. I wasn't ready. I could go on and give you all kinds of reasonings why I wasn't ready, but I just wasn't. But how many know that you're not ready in your brain and in your soul for the next level of what the Father has prepared for you? But in your spirit man, there's a download of grace and favor that He already pours into you before you need it. He's ahead of you. Your spirit man has knowledge of things that you are not ready to handle mentally. That's what he was pouring into me this morning. He said, I could not give you some of the talents and the abilities of my spirit within you until you were not going to take it and go off with pride. And also reap my glory. He doesn't want me to be in competition to reap some of his glory for myself, because that's sin. And I don't want it. And he knows my heart. But he pressed in. Don't you see? I know the timing. The word that came out of Ann last night was preparation. Now, there were other words, but that one was like, okay, you're preparing me. Preparing me for what is known and registered inside, but it's not here yet. It's not in my head. It's not in my knowledge. Okay? And am I ready to abide by his plan and not my own? Or limit his plan because of my reasonings and my ability to discern from my natural abilities? Because he said, your inner man has greater value and greater capacity than you could conceive. So, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Having loved his own, do I belong to him? Yes, I do. Do I understand what that truly should be impacting me? Do I comprehend that? Is there an understanding in my inner parts? that I'm his. That he has loved me from the beginning. And then he would literally step out of his own limited ways of showing his love and spread it to the level of washing their feet. Which I think that's when Peter really flipped out. He couldn't handle it. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Do we have an understanding of the type of love that the Father has for the firstborn son? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. You understand, when you are aware of the Father's love for each of us, would he really allow something negative to happen to you that he didn't have an ultimate purpose? No. His ultimate purpose is not always before me. And my understanding of what he's expecting of me in the midst of my test, that's to be determined by you and me saying yes or no. And I've seen myself say to the Lord, I can't go further. I can't. Would you just pour in whatever needs that I have right now? Because my choice is to remain where I am because I can't handle any more. But if you literally pour into me whatever I need to go through the rest of this test and to flow with it with joy, because you can't do it when you're bawling your eyes out, your emotions are going to get the best of you. Watching my brother Bob yesterday praying for his son was a totally out-of-the-box situation. I wanted to take the pain away from him. I really did. So I cried with him. And the Lord said, what were you crying for? Yourself or him? I had to admit, I have a son that has walked away from the Lord. By choice and by pressure tactics that I wouldn't have allowed for him to go through, but that was not his choice. And it's not my choice. And how I want to. Do you hear I? Did you hear that? It's a big capital I. And God has kept me out of it by grace alone. How do I remain in his love? I believe it's by choice and by his grace. Will I always feel it? No. I think my emotions are going to take over like they have in some cases before. But by choice, my confession needs to remain. He loves me in spite of what I'm feeling right now. He loves me in spite of what I perceive right now. Because when he allowed his firstborn son to carry my sin for me and lay down his life, then I can lay down some of my patterns and surrender. John 15:13, greater love has no one than that he laid down his life for his friends. It has an S on it, friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. There was a couple of instances last night where I watched people make a choice and set aside how they were going to get down on their knees to wash people's feet and how they were going to get back up. And I said, Lord, they're dying to self. They're dying to what they think. They're doing this by choice. And you're going to pour grace into them. Because I wanted to help. So you tasted some of this, some of you, last night. Laying down your attitude or laying down the fear tactics that would say, ha ha, you're going to suffer for this one. My prayer is that you tasted of his love by giving you not only the grace, but the freedom from torment and pain that the enemy would have loved to pour into you. Because love overwhelms all the old. Romans 8:35. This one I would like you to take to the bank. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost bank of truth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famines or nakedness or danger or sword? My opinions of myself are part of that sword from the soul that tries to divide my spirit from my Heavenly Father. The abilities of reasonings and judgmental patterns that try to overrule God's love for me, try to cancel out my trust in His love and my trust in Him being aware of the test I'm in or the tests that I'm facing. I can remember a Christmas dinner, and Irene and I are separated at the time. And I don't want to go. Joe was the last thing in my head that I was going to go to that dinner. And the Lord said, are you going to put the grandchildren and the children? And let this division that you have with your wife separate you from them. It was probably the most uncomfortable dinner that I've ever had. I was sitting in one corner of the room, and I was watching my wife, who had not been a part of my life for several months. And she was just as uncomfortable as I was, probably more so, because she's the one that had asked me to leave. But you see, Holy Spirit had already told me that she was going to do what she was about to do. So if you don't think Holy Spirit is working in your test and in the people that are involved in your test, you've got news coming. He knows the ones on the other side of you as well as he knows you. He knows them before they come to him, just like he knew you before you knew him. How I survived, I don't know. It was literally sheer grace and more grace and more grace. And I'm thinking of you two tomorrow, you know, next week. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be by grace alone.
Amen.
It's not going to be done by might. It's not going to be done by power. It's going to be done by the Holy Spirit within you. And my belief is this, that the joy of the Lord will be so present in the two of you that it'll make some very jealous.
Amen.
Amen.
And that jealousy will cause them to bow and say, they've got something we don't have.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen.
We'll have a little altar call.
I won't respond to that. Who shall separate it? Because of your obedience? No way. From the love of Christ, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, and danger, and swords. There will be swords that will operate against you. Before you go, and in that experience, it will be something. You may feel some daggers. You may have some points in your body that says, oh my God, I didn't have any pain there. What's wrong? It's not what's wrong. It's what's being done to you. Forgive them quickly. They know not what they're doing. The next one is 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. I'm trusting in this word to continue in every one of you, so that you'll have an awareness that he's loved you from the beginning of your earthly experience. He loved you before, but he loved you in the beginning of your experience, as well as the middle, as well as the end of, when it's time for you to depart, should that be his desire. My prayer is that he'll transform you before you ever leave this earth, that you will be radiating his love and radiating his light, just like Jesus did on the mountain. That's what my prayer is for each and every one of you. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us, compels, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died to their own reasoning. I've added for their own reasoning because that's what I believe needs to change.
Amen.
That's what I believe this feast is going to change us. And we're going to have a new outlook towards each other. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, says St. Paul. But Christ lives in me. That's the anointing that lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me? Yeah. Convince yourself. And it's confirmed in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 2. But you don't need to go there. It's the same message. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. with his opinion of me, with his outlook of me, with his love for me, and I live this life in the body by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I believe that if you go back to John 13, I believe the Lord has in his mind about the crucifixion even then. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He's aware, even before he washed their feet, that he's going to give up his body on that tree to set them free. And one can't receive it. And that's Judas. And Peter's not far behind him. Aware of how much he loves me, and to stop my arguing with him would be very helpful.
Amen.
And that's another level of grace. You see, we can confess I have the mind of Christ, meaning I have the mind of the Anointed One. If I have the mind, I should also have now a new outlook. Where I can say, I know that I am loved by my Father.
Amen.